Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Biggs A.
Morning, Brad.
What's going on?
You know, I'll tell you what's going on. The Bears are back on the road. You're the one who told us the horrible statistic about them on the road. I don't like that statistic, and I don't like the fact that they've struggled as much as they have on the road under this administration, but I've been accused of using that as justification for feeling that they can't play on the road and the teams are different every year. I know there are different teams, but I do think teams take some time to learn some of the intricacies of the NFL, and one of the things is winning on the road. And what are they going to have to do to make sure that they win this game on the road?
Yeah, that's a good point, because they have been so bad away from Soldier Field. I don't know that I put a ton of stock into it. And they played poorly at Indianapolis, right? Mm-hmm. And a game they should have won. And they were playing a pretty good Houston team the week before that. In terms of the first year and a half of Matt Eberflus, they were a really bad football team. You could play at Soldier Field. You could play on the road. You could go neutral site in Tokyo. They were probably going to get beat pretty soundly. They were not, didn't have a good roster and weren't playing well. Since then, yeah, they've got to get better on the road, and that starts Sunday in that late afternoon slot. Like, you know, not everybody's going to be watching, but a lot of people are going to be watching. And this is a really interesting matchup, because I think Washington, in many respects, is in the same boat. They haven't played anyone. I was talking to a guy last night. He said, well, what have the Commanders done well defensively to this point? And guy thinks about it for a minute, and he said, well, play bad quarterbacks.
That helps.
And yeah, and to a degree, that's what the Bears have done, and they did encounter C.J. Stroud, and last night we saw what Matthew Stafford looks like when he's got actual wide receivers to throw to. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua missing that game against the Bears. So it's a fascinating game, because I think both teams want to see where they're at, and probably would acknowledge that the schedule has been a little soft to this point. It doesn't matter who you're lining up against. You still got to go out and beat them. And these guys have been doing a pretty good job of that this season.
Brad, on Thursday, we heard from Montez Sweat, and it's been about a year since the Bears traded for him. You could make the argument that it was Ryan Poles' second most impactful trade. I liked what he had to say and the way that he phrased it in terms of understanding why the Commanders did what they did and not taking it personally, but all the things that bring him to Sunday in his revenge game. Has he had a good year? Do you think that his numbers reflect kind of the season he's having? How would you evaluate Montez Sweat as we sit here today?
Well, he's had a huge impact. Like, statistically, you don't have what anyone's hoping for to this point, but I kind of liked what he had to say yesterday about, you know, just how it's so much more fun this year because they're winning. right? And he was on some teams that did a lot of losing in Washington. And, you know, the Bears were in a very big hole when they acquired him last year, right? So his impact has been huge for this defense. And I know the stats maybe don't shine when you talk about him having 2.5 sacks to this point. I think he's got 3 quarterback hits, a couple pass deflections. But he's drawn so much attention. It raises his presence clearly raises the level of play of that group. And I would imagine that the Commanders have a concerted effort to ensure that Montez Sweat doesn't beat them routinely on Sunday. I think they'll probably assign some chip help there.
When you think about the quarterbacks in the game, obviously we'll learn more about Jaden Daniels today, and we will find out. Maybe if he can't play, then I know he's going to give it a go. If he can't do it, I don't think there's any way he's going to play on Sunday. I think they might even announce it today if that's the case. But I think they'll try to keep it under wraps. And I would suspect that part of the league is playing, and he'll want to try to play. And then as far as Caleb is concerned, you know, this is another opportunity. I know he downplayed going home, and I'm sure – like emotionally, he won't be overcome by anything, but he is going home, and it is part of his history. And I'm sure, as a guy that tends to sort of strip down his role to the basics, I have to win for the Bears. That's a good way of going about it, but it's a way of keeping your emotions in check.
Yeah, and he seemingly does a good job of that. With everything, I think a lot of people will be seeing what kind of information comes out of Washington later on in the day as Daniels attempts to practice. But you're going to have basically, it's the same offense. They're not changing the offense if one guy's in there and the other isn't. And one thing that's interesting, talking to a guy who's watched them play, is he thought their passing game had a lot better timing and rhythm with the rookie than the veteran. And maybe that's because Mariota hadn't had a lot of time out there this season with that team, but said there were too many instances last week against the Panthers of Mariota extending plays, which he was able to get away with doing that because they were playing Carolina, might not work or be as effective against this Bears defense if Mariota is indeed the starter and if he's continuing to try to extend plays out of the pocket.
What did you hear Thursday from Shane Waldron that stood out, and why do you think the Bears continue to struggle scoring points in the first quarter?
Well, the first quarter thing's simple. I mean, it's really simple. They're 3-for-16 on third down in the first quarter. So that does it for you right there. Their lone touchdown drive in the first quarter this season was a 7-play, 70-yard drive. DJ Moore caught a touchdown pass. They did not hit third down on that drive. So that's been the killer. I think you and then you say, okay, well, why have they been brutal on third down in the first quarter? And then you got to go in and you got to look at the individual plays. Okay, well, this was, you know, 3rd and 8. They got a 6-yard gain or whatever. They were, you know, missed blocking assignment here on a 3rd and 4. So that's what that comes down to. I don't think it's any more complicated than that, but they've been, and truthfully, Dave, they haven't been great on third down, period. Like, it's not like they get outside of the first quarter and they start cooking on third down. That's an area which I think they would very much like to get better at here in the near future. You know, that's something they're find it here, guys, because it is, it's not good. I can tell you that much. But Waldron talked, you know, he's talking about communication. He's talking about two-way communication, not just coach to player, but taking the feedback that they get from the players and adapting. And I didn't think there was anything revelatory yesterday that that Waldron had to say, but they've been playing better, and he definitely deserves some credit for that. They're 21st. In the league on third down, converting 35.4% of the time. And that's the whole game. So obviously they get better after the first quarter, but that's not good. They actually, believe it or not, guys, they were 12th in the league on third down last year at a tick over 41%. So that's something they got to clean up if they want to start scoring points in the first quarter.
Brad, let's talk about Brisker. What does he have to overcome? It was interesting because I think Flusi said at the beginning of the week that it was a couple of things. And then the other element would be that guy hasn't practiced in a long time now. I mean, if you start thinking about him being concussed and not traveling to London, that's now a few weeks between games. Is he capable of going if he can get back immediately? And do you think he's more of a scratch? And I would add Kyler Gordon to that question. Is he also, given that he hasn't been able to play, is he kind of a questionable addition to this thing with a hamstring? Those things take time sometimes.
Yeah, I would say that given that neither one of them participated in practice yesterday, that it's not trending in the right direction. I wouldn't rule either out, but with the time Brisker's missed, with it being a concussion, with the fact that he hasn't been able to get out on the practice field and at least be limited yet, I'd be a little surprised at this point if he plays. And you know what? It's a concussion. Take your time. Be smart about it. It's not just a concussion. It's the third time in three seasons Jaquan Brisker has suffered a concussion, so he should probably want to proceed, you know, real carefully, because where it's not a big hit here or a big hit there. I think the real problem for these guys becomes when they start getting them
right.
More frequently.
Yes.
Right. And yeah. So that's the last thing you want to have happen. For him, Gordon's a guy that soft tissue injuries have given him trouble, whether in the off season or training camp or during the year. And you know, you don't want, and we've seen this happen a time here, a time there with the Bears the past couple of years, where they've brought a guy back and then the situation's cropped up again, and then he's missing more time. So I think it's imperative that Gordon be available when they get into division play. So be smart about that, right? If he's close, but maybe he could use a little more time, why not? Because that's where they've got more depth than really any other place on the roster, in my opinion, is the secondary. And the replacements for both those guys Elijah Hicks at safety and Josh Blackwell at nickel corner. I thought they both played really well. They like Reddy Stewart, who's on the practice squad as a nickel guy. Like, they've got talent there. And I realize the Commanders have done some really impressive things in the passing game so far, but they need to be smart. It's a long season, and you watch what happens last night. Darisaw, the left tackle for the Vikings, goes out. You just look at injuries popping up around the league, and you want to make sure you're healthy when it counts.
Brad, you look at the Commanders being the third most successful team running the football in terms of average yards per game, and you wonder how much of that is a revamped, retooled offensive line or the running backs, and how much of that is Jaden Daniels having almost 370 rushing yards, second most behind Lamar Jackson among NFL quarterbacks. Do the Bears have a good sense of that, and do you think they're most concerned about them controlling the line of scrimmage?
Well, you got it. It all it all starts with stopping the run, and the Bears did a better job of that against Jacksonville, but have had some issues earlier this year. And one of the things in looking at this game is Washington's got the obviously the effect of the athletic quarterback, Daniels. You're seeing in that aspect a lot of what the Bears benefited from with Justin Fields. The threat of the quarterback run opens up a lot of other stuff, and it allows you to win with you don't have to have the greatest running backs in the world or the greatest offensive line, and you can go out there and run for 3,000 yards. That's what the Bears did in 2022. They've got some really creative play designs with what they're doing running the ball in Washington. They're doing some really different stuff. They'll put two tailbacks in the backfield. They're using a lot of motion. They'll have linemen going one way, a tight end going another way. So I don't know that opponents have gotten a real beat on it yet. We'll see if the Bears have got some of it figured out. But I think it's certainly the athletic quarterback being the trigger man is a huge element to it. But credit to Cliff Kingsbury, because in talking to people, they think it's pretty creative what he's been able to do with that group to this point.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. All right, Biggsy, let's talk about him for a second. He was asked about his interview with the Bears and declined to answer, which is his option, but it was kind of weird. I mean, Flusi said at the beginning of the week that, yeah, they interviewed him, but, you know, they talked about Caleb, but then they just talked ball. They just ended up just talking ball. Do you know anything about that interview? Do you know anything about why he didn't want to talk about it? Was he a serious candidate for the job? Did he not feel like he was given a fair shake? What was that all about?
Yeah, I mean, those are all fair questions. Sometimes guys that even had good experiences at other places get like extra squirrely when they're asked about another place. You know, like Richard Hightower doesn't really refer to the 49ers when he talks about his past. You know, like, well, the previous team I worked for, and well, you know, you were with the 49ers. You could say the name of the team. So like it's not like you came from Green Bay and you know, they might revoke your parking pass, Richard, if you say the word Packers in the building. So I don't know if Kingsbury just wants to keep the focus on, you know, his players, his guys, what they're doing. It could be as simple as that.
All right, Brad, so I picked the Bears, Mully picked the Commanders. What do you pick?
Well, I'm interested to hear what our mutual friend Joe Fortenbaugh picks here at 7:40 this morning, guys. But I looked at this, spent some time going over it, and this with the idea that Daniels is healthy, okay?
Yeah.
Which we know I don't think he'll be 100% if he plays, right? And I went ahead and picked the Bears, guys, because I think the defensive unit for them, and this is one of the things you've heard me talk about in the past, not every week, but in the past, their defensive unit for the Bears is the best outfit that's going to be of the four that's going to be on the field on Sunday afternoon. And I think it's good enough to be the difference in the ball game. And I've got some real questions about the Commanders' secondary. We saw those questions last year. They've still got a lot. I mean, it's really impressive what Adam Peters, the GM, has done there in a very short period of time with Dan Quinn. They've had one off season, okay, and they were coming from a dark spot there with a roster that wasn't good. So what they've been able to do this quickly is super impressive. You know, recall back to where the Bears were seven games in with Poles and Eberflus. So they've got a lot of work to do there. They need help on the defensive line. They need help in the secondary. I think the Bears win the ballgame 27-20.
Mm.
Beautiful.
All right. Good stuff,
All right,
Brad.
Bigsy. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Safe travels.
Yeah, have a good trip.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He's the football man of the Chicago Tribune. We are going to discuss all of that. I hope he's right.
I want to talk about Cliff Kingsbury when we come back.
Yeah, we should. We should get into that. We should play you a little bit of the audio. It's fairly interesting. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We didn't ask too many questions about it. He just gave positive reviews for Caleb, like all the people did when we talked to him. It was much of the same, but it was more about ball.
You also interviewed for the Bears OC job. What was that experience like?
I'm just not going to get into that. Yeah, sorry.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So early in the week, Matt Eberflus asked about Cliff Kingsbury. Oh, he had great things to say about Caleb, as everyone did, and we just talked ball. Then late in the week, yesterday, Cliff Kingsbury asked about his interview for the offensive coordinator job with the Bears, which was with Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, and he said, we're not getting into that.
When somebody answers a question like that, it makes you curious. Oh. It makes you very suspicious of what might have happened, what didn't happen, and how prepared somebody might not have been for that interview. Doesn't sound like he interviewed great. The word is that he did not interview well when he was interviewing with the Bears for the offensive coordinator position. They went in a direction with Shane Waldron. We can all be cynical and say, you know what? Shane Waldron has the same agent as Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, and that made him a better fit. There might have been other things that made him a better fit, schematically, personality-wise, whatever the case may be. You also don't want to hire somebody who might be considered your ideal replacement, and Cliff Kingsbury's NFL head coaching experience might have put him in that category.
Who was I talking to? I was talking about the air raid system and Texas Tech and all that.
Mike Leach, and he played for him. And
the
all
guys,
that.
The guy's like, well, you know, Kingsbury might have been the best quarterback to come out of there. And I was like, what about Patrick Mahomes? Like, is that even close? Is there even any argument about the best quarterback to come out of there?
Well, Cliff Kingsbury coached Patrick Mahomes
okay,
and Caleb Williams.
He coached Caleb Williams as a quarterback.
I know.
For See, 1 year.
And that leads me into, I'm setting it all up.
Because
we said earlier, and I believe this, we have, I think, exaggerated the impact that Cliff Kingsbury had on Caleb Williams' career and life. I don't know how close they are or aren't, but it just seems like the guy who, obviously there's a convenience factor there, they're playing against a team, they interviewed for the job, they were spent a season at USC together, presumably together, but Cliff Kingsbury was an offensive assistant.
He was a QB coach, basically. He wasn't even the coordinator.
He wasn't the coordinator.
That was Lincoln Riley's show.
Yes, and Lincoln Riley is the football coach who Caleb Williams
followed to Oklahoma.
Followed to Oklahoma.
And then followed to California.
Oklahoma to L.A. That's the guy who, if you want to say, who knows Caleb Williams best as a quarterback, I would say it's Lincoln Riley. Cliff Kingsbury certainly added to that, enhanced that, maybe helped him prepare for being an NFL quarterback last year during their season together at USC. But I just don't know if it's tight of a connection as we're trying to make it out to be this week.
Will we get back to this topic when they play Arizona?
Because of Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray played for Cliff Kingsbury and was good under him.
But he also, Kyler Murray played for Lincoln Riley. So I think that's the connection that I think is more apt. I get it. I get it. I'm not
just joking about Kingsbury.
But aren't you curious why Cliff Kingsbury wanted no part of that conversation?
I'm very curious about that. And I have all sorts of ideas about
Well, share
that.
One.
He didn't feel like he didn't feel like he got a fair shake.
That sounded like that.
Or
he sounded like he resented it being brought up.
He didn't like the idea that those guys didn't want him.
That might have been more accurate, because it appears if you talk to people surrounding the process, they didn't want him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of he had a bad relationship with Caleb Williams. Quite the contrary. I think the intel that he provided about Caleb Williams was helpful in forming a more complete picture of Caleb Williams, the 21-year-old, or Caleb Williams, the young, future-to-be professional quarterback. I just think they wanted somebody who fit better with their own personalities, yes. And maybe that wasn't Cliff Kingsbury.
It's, you know, and I don't know if I should trust what was said publicly at the time of Shane Waldron's hiring, but what they said was his versatility was what kind of put them over the top. He could run different things, different ways, depending on what they were looking for.
Obviously, so, the first 15 didn't come up.
Yeah, apparently. So did that mean that Cliff had his system and ran what he wanted to do? Isn't that what you want from somebody? If you're not going to have your fingerprints on the offense.
Ideally, yes. Conventional wisdom says you're exactly right. It's very, but you also know in these interviews, you're looking for personality fits as much as anything.
Yeah.
And so you just don't know how that.
Maybe he didn't talk ball as well as
maybe he didn't. Maybe he wasn't all ball. We know he might not be all ball because he's got a lot of other things going on. But the fact that there's a misnomer out there too about Cliff Kingsbury. Brad alluded to it very well. And we talk about the passing game and the wide open. He creates space, as Flusie said.
He's running.
He's running the ball.
Yeah, he is.
And he's not afraid to do that.
But he is keeping defenses in check. He's not afraid to do that because he's keeping the defense adjusting to him. Mm-hmm. So the ability to get a guy that runs a 4.35 40 outside the pocket and using his incredible athletic ability,
that helps a lot.
Will open up a running game while you're obsessed with not kind of getting to him. You can't really go after him like you conventionally would a quarterback because you got to contain him.
It's too big of a risk to let him escape the pocket and be on his own and go down the field, and we've seen that happen. I think that's interesting. It's always better when you have an offensive coordinator whose ability to call plays dictates what the defense does rather than the other way around.
The spread concepts are what is opening up running games, running lanes for the Washington Commanders. And so they're taking advantage of the fact that the quarterback and his threat stretches the offense. Now, you know, they managed to do that with Marcus Mariota, who doesn't run as fast. I don't think he's ever been clocked 22.8 miles an hour.
I don't think they measure him in miles per hour.
No. But they do measure Jaden Daniels that way, and
yes.
it's a huge threat. And even in that game, if you think about it, the way he was injured, wasn't that like a 76-yard run or something? You know, I had never really seen anybody that could just run through a team like watching Justin Fields do it when the Bears were really awful.
He was also measured in miles per hour.
He has been exceeded by this guy, but only just. He runs that far.
In terms of being that fast.
Yeah.
Because Justin Fields still is in a class, that different class. Jaden Daniels has to gain 1,000 yards rushing before I'm going to put him in the same category as a runner as Justin Fields.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I think he's already a better passer.
So that's not what I said.
In a higher quarter.
I think he's a better passer. He's a better passer. Okay. I don't think he's the running back that Justin Fields is yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he can plow over people because he's a very slight person.
He might hurt his rib.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there we go.
See? Now, this is the chink in the armor.
That's what I'm saying.
I gotcha. It's actually an interesting point. Availability.
Thank you.
Is the greatest
I was
ability.
Due.
You were, it was bound to happen.
I was due.
If you just kept going.
Okay, let's talk to Joe.
All right, we got Joe Fortenbaugh next. He'll tell us he's going to win the game. Joe always loves predicting a Bears game, and we'll find out Who he likes in the college game. Joe's always a great value. Our man in Vegas joins us next, even though he's nowhere near Vegas. He's on the other side of the country, but let's not get into it. Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. You know him. He's a superstar now, and he still remembers his humble beginnings as a friend of the program. He's the great Joe Fortenbaugh, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Joe, we knew you through your travels, through Vegas, through San Francisco. Now you're in Connecticut, leaf peeping. It's just a glorious, glorious thing to talk to you.
Morning, Joe.
It's humorous that you set me up that way, because just a few moments ago, I was in one of the rooms here in DC2, which is one of the TV buildings on the main campus, and I'm all set up. I was early. You can tell I'm in the vest this morning. I look good. I'm ready for my guys in Chicago. And then Carl Ravitch shows up and kicks me out because there's some little thing called the World Series tonight. And I got to go out on my rear end and find another room. Now I'm in this random room that anyone could come in at any moment as we're trying to give the great people of Chicago some betting information. So I appreciate it. The rise of Joe Fortenbaugh very quickly right back down in the sewers, courtesy of the great Carl Ravitch.
You bring a broom to pick up those names you keep dropping there, Joe?
I mean, it sounds impressive until you realize, like, it's just, you walk around, you think, hey, man, I've been working really hard. Maybe I made it. Not today. They threw me out of that room so fast. And Ravitch is 20 minutes early. He easily could have let me do this appearance with you guys and then gone on TV. But no, it can't. Not for the elite. So that's where we stand today, gentlemen.
You've made it, Joe.
Hey, there's a lot of big stuff going on. Obviously, we are here in Chicago, so we're really interested in Illinois going to Oregon, one of these great Big Ten showdowns. And it's weird that Illinois is going to Oregon, but Illinois is having a heck of a year, and they're traveling to Oregon. I'm sure that's not one of the games you're interested in, Joe, because it's not a directional school with a nice first half prediction, but help
us
out.
Very good, Mully. Very good, Mully. It only took a decade and a half, but you figured out what we're doing here. All right. So I do kind of like this game. It's around 22.5 with Oregon as the favorite. It's been nothing but Oregon money. I can't play Oregon on the full game because there's no style points needed anymore for these teams, right? Like, they don't need to. They beat Ohio State. It's a 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
If you're winning, get your starters out. So I'm not certain. And that happened against Michigan State. You know, they're up 21-0, and then they win 31-10. I think playing Oregon on the first half line is a good way to go. 12.5, 13.5. It's a tough travel spot. These Big Ten teams that have had to cross two time zones for these games, they're really struggling in these spots. Oregon looks very good. Illinois is having a great season. Don't get me wrong. It's tough to get the Purdue game out of my mind with how the defense looked there. But given what we saw against Penn State and how the line sets up in the Oregon matchup, I think Oregon in the first half might be the way to go. If you want some action tonight, I'd look at Boise State over UNLV. UNLV ranks 113th in yards after contact allowed. Ooh. I wonder if Boise State has somebody who can run the ball. Oh, yeah. Ashton Jeanty, the Heisman Trophy favorite. This is a problematic matchup for UNLV, which, by the way, Boise State, 13 days of rest coming into this game. UNLV only 6. These two met last year in the Mountain West Championship game. Boise wiped the floor with them. Relatively same rosters. Close to the same point spread, I'd play Boise State. Moving into the weekend, local game, I like the Irish against Navy. I think Navy's going to be a big public dog. They're catching 14. Everyone loves the story. They haven't really played anybody yet. This is a huge step up in class against one of the country's best defenses, and I think that spells problems. Plus, this is finally an opportunity for Notre Dame to kind of gain back some of that juice lost from the Northern Illinois loss, right? Like, we haven't really seen them in a lot of big games since. Here we go. Navy presents that opportunity, put up a good score. Michigan State plus the 5 over Michigan. Michigan came off their bye. They solved nothing. Michigan State looked pretty good off their bye. They took out Iowa. There's not a whole lot to like about this Wolverines team. People need to catch up to the fact that what we saw last year is very, very different than what we're seeing this year. Quarterback play has been a very big problem. LSU on the money line, I would play them over Texas A&M. Smaller bet, but we saw a ton of LSU money yesterday. Move this spread from 3.5 down to about 1. Nussmeier, the quarterback at LSU, is the edge here. LSU's defense continues to improve. LSU's been running the ball well lately as well. And then finally, Central Florida minus the 2 over BYU. BYU's undefeated, but they really struggle against mobile quarterbacks, and that's exactly what UCF is going to throw at them. On top of it, you go inside some of those BYU box scores, a little fugazi there. So we'll go through it. Notre Dame minus 14, Oregon first half, Boise, Michigan State, LSU money line, UCF. None of those are courtesy of Carl Ravitch for those two.
All right, Joe, let's start with the Bears. What do you got in the NFL?
This one's compelling. This one's really compelling because if you go back to the look ahead line from last week, Washington was a 2.5-point favorite. But then obviously Jaden Daniels gets banged up. Line comes back out, Bears minus 1.5, Bears minus 2, and then it's Bears money all the way up to the key number of 3. Most people I talk to think Jaden Daniels is not going to play. So maybe this continues to climb, but this Washington team is very, very feisty. Bears were playing well. They go on the bye. You'll wonder if that hurts some of the momentum. Total in this game goes from 44 down to 43.5. I lean to Chicago, not because I'm on the great 670 to score in Chicago, but I like what I've seen from Chicago's defense. Consistent week in and week out. And if you're going to throw a backup quarterback out there, I think there's an opportunity. Offense needs to play smart. You can put up some big plays against Washington. And remember, they lost the name escapes me, Jonathan Allen, on the defensive line a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not enough people are making a big enough deal about that loss to Washington. So I'm leaning to the Bears. I got a feeling that it probably continues to climb once Daniels is ruled out, should he be ruled out. So if you lock into 3 now, I don't think it's the end of the world. We're not getting the best of it, but a smaller play on Chicago. Elsewhere, Bengals minus 2.5 over Philadelphia. Look, headline was minus 3. We move off the key number. Why? Cincinnati won. Philadelphia won. You guys know me. I'm from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'm an Eagle fan. This offense does not look good. Like, thank you, Saquon Barkley, for a big performance against the loser Giants. But, like, that does not solve the offense's issues. Cincinnati's 3-4. All 4 losses by 1 score. This team is way better than their record indicates. And I don't even have to lay the full field goal at home. I'll play the Bengals there. Buffalo and Seattle, under 47. 47's a key total. Could be weather concerns. DK Metcalf might not play. Both defenses are better than the analytics rate because they dealt with a lot of injuries, but they're getting healthy. Lower scoring game in the Pacific Northwest, we go under there. Dallas plus 4.5 against San Francisco. Mike McCarthy, 13-3-1 against the spread off a bye. Dak Prescott, 18-6 against the spread with extra rest. Niners are banged up. Smaller bet here because Dallas could go full Dallas and completely blow this game, but I still do like the Cowboys. And then I want you to focus on this. 2 first half bets for that Denver-Carolina game. Denver minus 6.5 in the first half. Denver's first half team total over 13.5. We did this last week on this show with Washington and it worked gangbusters. Let's do it again. Carolina is the worst first half team in the NFL. It's the worst first half defense in the NFL. Denver should, with some extra rest, be able to put up a good number here. So we like the Bears. We like Cincinnati minus 2.5. Under 47, Bills, Seahawks, Cowboys, Denver first half minus 6.5. Denver first half team total on over 13.5. I like the Browns a little bit. I shudder to think. I like the Browns a little bit. If it gets up to 9 or higher, I'd be looking to make a play there. Ravens are coming off a very tough schedule. Could be a flat spot here against famous Jameis.
Great stuff, Joe. Do you have, just in honor of Ravitch, do you have a World Series pick?
Whatever, the opposite of whatever Ravitch is taking. How about that?
Take that.
I would tell you this. I think the sharp guys are going to play the Yanks because the pitching favors the Yanks. The pricing favors the Yanks. We saw what the Yanks did against the bullpen of the Cleveland Guardians, which was the best bullpen around. I'm not playing the Yanks. I'm taking a long shot, Teoscar Hernandez, to win the MVP at 25-1. This is where you can get nice. A little bit loose. It's not the NBA. It's not the NFL. The stars don't always win that award, so I do that. Tonight, I go Garrett Cole, under 15 and a half recorded outs. I don't think he's going to make it that long. 15 and a half recorded outs is a full five innings and then at least one out in the sixth. I don't think he lasts that long against this Dodger lineup. Those would be my plays.
This segment with Joe Fortenbaugh brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4 Seasons.
Thank you, Joe. God bless you.
Thanks, Joe.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Love you, Chicago. Go Bears.
All righty. That's our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh. You're listening to Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.